Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back, everybody, to a special Patreon exclusive episode where we are continuing to watch through all of the X-Men Legacy movies in some sort of order that someone made up somewhere sometime. So if you're following along with us, we finally made it to the Age of Apocalypse, which I think is just called X-Men Apocalypse. But for some reason, I constantly think it's called Age of Apocalypse. But don't look that up. That's not a movie. So, I guess first impressions of the movie overall. I don't have like a huge problem with it. I know that people didn't receive it as well. And I'll agree there are some moments that are low. And there's some moments that just, like, don't make sense. But overall, I think we get a lot of the more fun characters in these first-class era of movies. We get, like, a lot of fun things with... oh, my gosh, I almost called him The Flash. With Quicksilver. and we get a lot of, like, comic-accurate costumes in this movie, which I think is always just like a fun nod. I do believe that now we are to the point where it's like a fun nod when they show for a scene a comic accurate costume, but they kind of revamp everyone's costumes. And I think this was before that, when they were like, no, comic accurate costumes for everybody. And it's like, yeah, I mean, it looks okay. Like, I do wish that it was... yeah, more of like a one scene with the comic accurate costume. They don't need to do it the whole movie. But I don't know. I enjoy it. I'm not going to watch it every year, but every couple of years you throw it in there and I think it's fun.
You want me to go?
Yes.
It's okay. It's an okay film. It's... we're just kind of mentioning it's... I probably need to rewatch this at least one more time to really like get in my full thoughts. This is one of those, it's just like you look at the cast and it's like, oh yeah, he was in this. Oh what's Olivia Munn doing in this? Like, I don't know, some of the cast is always a little, because I always forget. Like, I think the only thing that pulls me into this one is just because like I'm a big fan of Oscar Isaac, so like having him as the main villain. But like the downfall of this film is just everything that apparently happened like off camera. It kind of like leaves that bad taste, because I know Oscar like had a horrible time. I don't know if either of you have seen the recent stuff against Bryan Singer, but it's pretty bad.
Oh no!
So it's like, I don't know. It just hurts. Like, I feel like it's overall gonna hurt X-Men overall, but. Yeah, we get get a lot of characters in this one, a lot more than I remembered. I was kind of like doing a quick recap on like characters, and I was like, oh, I totally forgot like Blob's in this, and there's like a bunch of them. And I guess my last note was, I can't remember the extra scene in this one. Maybe it was the previous film.
Oh, don't worry. I wrote it down. We got two extra scenes. And they were both leading up to something very exciting.
I can't remember anymore. I feel horrible. Sorry, listeners. I feel bad. I've lost my track of bonus scenes. We'll get there. I'll put a stop on my first notes on that.
It's my turn, isn't it?
It is.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of this one. I don't hate it. I wouldn't throw it into a bonfire with a bunch of other like conservative moms or anything. But it is kind of. I really think the thing that bothers me the most is that it's a waste of Oscar Isaac. Because yep. He's fantastic. They bury him underneath all these prosthetics and stuff. You can't even tell it's him. And they make his character, Apocalypse, come off as being really like bland. I don't know how you do that with a being that should be as fundamentally interesting just by their existence as Apocalypse is. And I do have a quote from my husband that says, no offense to Oscar Isaac, but he is too small to play Apocalypse.
Yeah. Apocalypse never really seemed threatening.
No.
Yeah.
Nah. So yeah, those are my initial thoughts.
Well, I guess let's dive in to the beginning of this movie. I think the whole like thought process behind Apocalypse is okay. I think it was obviously like a convenience thing to make it. Like, he's been buried all these years, and then they unearthed him, and it woke him up, and it was like, okay, all right. Like, it's kind of what they do with Captain Marvel, right? Just, like, give her some unknown thing to do constantly so that she can't be a part of the universe because she's so powerful. So it's like, okay, whatever, fine. I like the idea of him being like the first mutant that like created all the other mutants. I think it's like an interesting way to go about creating the mutant race. I think that, I don't know. I feel like lately I've been so excited for them to start introducing mutants into the MCU that it's hard for me to watch these movies and be like, oh yeah, this is like just an X-Men movie. Mm-hmm. Because I keep thinking like, man, it'd be so cool if they like called Nick Fury or like had to team up with somebody to, I don't know, like there's this government agency like the CIA that's like, why, like what do they have to do with this? Like, I don't know. I feel like these movies tried to put too many things together and it didn't work out the way they thought it was going to. And this is just another one of those mistakes where you took like such a good X-Men villain and you put him back when the X-Men were all still kids. And, I mean, I guess technically by this point they've become the X-Men. But, like, I don't know. When you think of X-Men, you think of, like, adults.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah. That's it's like the same with, like, Fantastic Four. Like, yeah. I'm not going to think of them as, like, 20 or early 30-somethings. Like,
right. It just it doesn't make sense. And so for not only all of the quote heroes to be like children, but also then the mutants that Apocalypse takes and turns into his horsemen are also children. So it's like we're just watching children fight, and then there's like this 8,000-year-old being. Like,
it's like, when did Hunger Games come out? Oh, it was 2012. This was 2016. So it's almost like, yeah, it's just like, let's take Hunger Games, but they're mutants.
Yeah. And it doesn't work.
Even like thinking about like when you really think about like, okay, Apocalypse is supposed to be the first mutant. So it's almost like you think of vampires in a sense of like, you kill the first and then everyone goes back to normal. Like almost getting that sense as you, when we talk about it out loud. But yeah, I'm very curious to see how this is going to get set up in the MCU world, because it's like Apocalypse has to be around right now, right? Like, what's he doing? Where's he at? Is he underground? Like, are they going to do that again?
Yeah, he's just in a pyramid somewhere.
He's just in a pyramid.
Maybe he's not around. Maybe it'll change it.
Yeah, or maybe we'll get some mutants from a universe where he's already destroyed the universe and he's not going to be a part of it. I don't
know. Ugh, there's too many universes and so many mutants. That's why none of these movies are going to work.
It's so sad but true.
They're going to have to like intro all the films like, this film takes place on Earth 212. Earth 6, you know, like.
We think.
I'm nervous because I feel like that's what DC needs to do. I think when DC makes like one-off movies, they're pretty good, or at least they're okay. Mm-hmm. But it's like them rushing to make the Justice League stuff. It was like, no, stop, don't. Mm-hmm. But I don't want Marvel to do that. Like, we are getting to that point where it's like, I saw the other day that Andrew Garfield is reportedly in Morbius. And I was like, no, stop. Like, we don't need other Spider-Man universes.
Like, well, even if he is, like, I feel like we don't need to know that. Like, that needs to be.
We're supposed to know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like,
I get it, because like, you know, we don't really know what timeline that's in, because we see all these little things, but I'm sure it's like the trailer, they've altered it to, even though when you actually go watch the movie, it's probably like, oh, he's in this, you know, this multiverse universe. Yeah, I don't know.
Just tan him up to meet Venom.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I hope that they like go back to the succinct storyline, because I mean these X-Men movies are the perfect example of like, you are all over the place, but you're trying to make me believe that this is all one timeline. Like, First Class wasn't a terrible movie, it was okay, but then when we went to Days of Future Past, it's like, what? You're telling me that it's the same group of people, but now we're already going back in time and doing all this crazy stuff, and then to go from that to Age of Apocalypse, where it's like, wait, hold up, like, what is happening? Like, the mutant apocalypse is gonna destroy the world, and then to go into Dark Phoenix, it's like all of these single stories, but they're trying to shoehorn all the same actors and make us believe that these characters are experiencing these things like one after another. So I don't know. I think they went too big and too hard with every one of these movies and it didn't work. Like,
the timeline is so weird. Like,
yeah.
Since we've been watching these movies like back to back to back to back, I'm like, the Beast should be like 36 by now. Why is he still like 24? I mean, with Mystique, we have an excuse. Like, she's got the mutation that makes her age much more slowly, but they can't all have that. Quicksilver's still living in his mom's basement and he should be like 28. I mean, granted, that could just be his deal, but it just seems like they are like, well, we don't want to recast these roles, even though they should be much older in this film and not that much time has passed.
Yeah,
Who cares?
Yeah, it's all made up anyway.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's like they're going to do that, and especially if they're going to fight like a massive villain, like stretch it out into multiple films.
Yeah. Like, well, especially really because sense. Like if you think about, so they in this movie that some of them go to see a movie at the mall, and it's Star Wars, and oh, which one is it? I think it's Empire.
So like 81?
Or no, it can't be Empire because they say that the third one always sucks. So it has to be
Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, Revenge. So still, like, if we're to believe that when Revenge of the Sith came out, that they're all, I mean, what do we assume? Like high school, maybe early college. I mean, they pull Scott out of high school, so we can't imagine that much time has passed from when they pull him out of high school.
Yeah.
So, and they've already fought. They're like fighting all of the biggest X-Men villains and storylines before they're even in their 20s. It's like, oh, I feel like we got a little off track, but I guess before we get too far, the one redeeming quality for me by the time they go to the mall is Jubilee is in her like 80s cartoon X-Men outfit, and I was like, yeah, Jubilee. I still don't know why they put her in all of these X-Men movies, but we never once see her use her power. And like,
she's
I know she doesn't have like the best mutant ability, but it's like you keep putting her in these movies for all of us watching the movie to be like, hey, there's Jubilee.
Yeah.
And she never does anything.
Right.
But her costume is so cool.
It is.
Yeah. And if you're a fan of the X-Men animated series, like, she was such a crucial part.
Yeah.
I always remember Jubilee. She's always like, yeah, using her powers in some way.
Yeah. So I enjoyed that. Then pretty much like hard stop, other than I always like when we get to see Quicksilver run fast. I think those are just fun moments from like a visual standpoint. I don't think it needs to be in the movie. Like, it's pretty much just it's the same thing as going to a Transformers movie and knowing you're just gonna watch an hour and a half of buildings being destroyed. But you know, I won't knock it because I do enjoy those moments. Like, I pretty much only watch these early X-Men movies for Wolverine and Quicksilver. So,
well, I guess we can talk a little bit about some of the technology that's used that we kind of see, because this is probably where the MCU's where things are going to start making sense, and that's celestial technology. Mm-hmm. And that's what Apocalypse uses to do the transference. So that
like, isn't one of his abilities. That's not like canonically something that he can do, like transfer his conscience into another body and take it over. Mm-hmm. So it's weird that it was like someone in a board meeting was like, I'll just make him be like dead and he gets risen. And then someone else is like, well, what, he can't be like a mummy, so we'll make him just like switch bodies with somebody. And everyone was like, yeah, okay, yeah, ooh, yeah. It doesn't make sense. It's like, what? Wait, what? He could just jump around bodies to people all the time? Like, how was he buried for this long without somebody finding him and doing that already, if that was a thing he could do and everyone knew it?
How far can he jump?
Yeah. I didn't mean to cut you off. Continue.
I don't even know. Like, oh, man, just some of the ideas in this film are just something. But
and this isn't even the worst one.
Yeah, right? Right? Like, oh man, Dark Phoenix. Oof. Yeah, I'm curious to see, like, I don't know. I need to look, dig into, like, the official origin of Apocalypse and how it's really tied with the Celestials and, like, what's there. Because I think we need to understand that to make sense of, like, where is the MCU potentially going to go. Mm. Like, it's my I'm still guessing that we will get X-Men introduced through, like, the Eternals. Mm. I'm still kind of leaning, like, that's probably what's going to happen. Just how soon will it be the next Eternals film or something else?
I don't want to get too far off of this movie, but on that note, I know that, I mean, I guess we don't know anything, right? This could be something that they take out and it was all a farce to begin with, but we see Miss Marvel in the trailer for Multiverse of Madness. She gets her powers, Kamala gets her powers from the Terrigen Mist, which is a thing introduced by the Inhumans to transform people into mutants, basically, or Inhumans, which is just another word for mutants. So I'm wondering if this is going to be part of the intro of mutants. Like, they're going to kind of intro it as, like, yeah, they're here, and you just don't know about them because they keep to themselves or something like that. Or if it's going to just be as simple as, like, they came from another universe and now they're here. And it's like, oh, okay, I guess, sure. So I don't know. I feel like things are getting weird. for how, like, not to say that it's not going to be good and I'm not going to enjoy it, but like, before, things were kind of like, you had you were like looking forward to stuff because you kind of felt like you knew what was going on.
Yeah.
And ever since Loki, I feel like I have no clue. I have no clue what's going on. I have no clue how these stories are going to even remotely come together. Like, what is Quantumania and Multiverse of Madness seem like the same thing, but with two different groups of people? And so it'd be like watching the Avengers, except instead of everyone being together, you watch, like, Steve and Tony do something, and you watch Hulk and Thor do something else, and they split it into two movies, but it's really the same thing.
Mm. We'll find out.
Yeah, we're going to find out.
We're going to find out.
Eventually. Well, let's get to the mutant roundup, as I like to call it, where Apocalypse is building his army. Because basically he gets woken up, he turns back into Apocalypse, and he's like, I gotta get my horsemen, or whatever. I don't remember what he says, but he says something along those lines, a classic villain. And we get to see a bunch of people that, like, in the comics, some of them are his horsemen, and then other ones aren't. If you look in the comics, I believe Banshee is one of his horsemen, which I was like, oh, Banshee, like, I mean, he doesn't really do anything, just scream and fly around. But we get to see Angel fighting in, like, a mutant cage match. And this is where we get to see Blob, and it's, like, comic accurate costume Blob.
Yep.
I thought that was fun. I did think it's weird that, like, he was recast from the actor that played him in X-Men Origins. If we're to believe that Wolverine is in this universe, you would think that they would have taken the 2 seconds to get the guy that played Blob in Origins to come back. But whatever. And then Angel gets to fight Nightcrawler. This whole, like, mutant cage fight thing, are we supposed to think that they do it? Do mutants go and say, like, I want to be in this cage match? Or are they, like, I mean, Kurt was captured, right? And, like, forced in there.
Yeah.
But Angel seems to kind of be digging it, and like, I don't, he seems like a weird character to be like, yeah, he's the champion of the cage match. If it had been Sabretooth or something like that, I probably would have been like, oh yeah, this makes sense. Like that character would be in there. Blob, that makes sense. Yeah, sure. Angel, it's just like a weird pull to be like, yeah, no. He loves it. He loves killing other mutants and beating them up.
Angel was another one that Mace gave me a note on, because he said he really hates this version of Angel, but he said that's really saying something, because he doesn't like any version of Angel.
Yeah, he's always whiny. Remember when he cuts his wings off and we haven't gotten to those X-Men movies, the original X-Men movies. I think it's
very disturbing.
Two, yeah, he's like in the bathroom cutting his wing off.
With foul, with like a rat.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, come on, dude. You're cool. You got big old wings. Just fly around.
I know, right?
It's literally the coolest one, because it looks so majestic.
Right. Jeez, yeah. I'll be 100% okay if we can go for the rest of our lives and not get another Marvel thing with a cage match. How many times have
Yeah, we've already seen it. We've already got it in Shang-Chi.
Yeah, that's true.
And it wasn't.
And when we get that Wong
much.
Movie, we're just going right back there.
Yeah, that's the Wong series. It's just going to be episodes that don't have anything to do with each other, and it's just going to be him training people for cage matches.
Why are they so I don't know. Yeah, this is one element I need to rewatch and focus on is like Nightcrawler, because I am a fan of that character. I really liked Nightcrawler from like the other X-Men films. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to focus more on that character's. I remember like liking him okay. I like the actor that played Nightcrawler in the original three.
I did too. Mm-hmm. I think that Nightcrawler made more sense.
Yeah.
Because like it wasn't so much that he was scared of people. Mm-hmm. It was more that he was scared to reveal himself.
Right.
And like the whole religious aspect to it was like, oh, this character is like deep and interesting. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Kurt in this universe is just like terrified of everything and everyone all the time. And it's like, come on, dude. Yeah. Like,
you got a cool power, man. Like,
yeah. Like, I don't know. Be cooler. Like, in the comics, he's like a.
Mm-hmm.
He's awesome. He, like,
right?
At some point gets, like, scimitars and, like, is popping around slashing people up with swords. Like, he's cool. And in this, it was just like, God, could you run away anymore? Like, in the one time he does get to use his powers for, like, to help, he's nervous about that, too.
Right.
He's like, I can't see inside of it. I might accidentally put us in a wall. It's like, yeah, okay, I get it. Like, you can't go places you can't see. But you got to do something. Like, how long can we watch you just complain?
Yeah.
I do maintain that he could still be the child of Mystique in this universe, because she does show up to get him.
Mm, yep.
And she doesn't act like she knows him, but like, you know, she was a young, cool, single lady whenever he would have been born. She could be like, I don't have the time to deal with this weird disappearing blue baby and just...
My baby kind keeps disappearing, so I'm just going to disappear myself.
Disappearing just blue baby.
Yeets him into an orphanage.
Oh, man.
I mean, but it would make sense because they have, like, a nice relationship here. They kind of get along.
Yeah.
And they're both blue.
Yeah. It's the biggest factor that ties them, I guess. yeah, well, we basically get them rescuing Kurt and... I don't know. A bunch of nothing happens, essentially. Like, the kids are back at school, or they go see the movie and they're driving back to the school, and as they're driving back to the school, the I keep wanting to call it a spaceship. That's not what it is.
The jet?
Yeah, the jet. I'm trying to remember, because I... I literally have written down Jet explodes, and I don't remember what happens to it to make it explode.
But I don't have that in my notes.
Yeah, it explodes, which causes the entire school explode. And oh, that's right, Apocalypse shows up with everybody, with his team, which I guess we kind of skipped over. He gets
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Storm, which is like, again, we're like teenage Storm, who we saw in the last movie when Xavier had the Cerebro on. So it was like, okay, I get it. There's Storm. So he gets Storm. He has Angel. He has Psylocke, which I don't think we see her yet.
I'm trying to remember when he got her.
I think he gets her when we don't see. And then he has Xavier. Or not Xavier. Eric Magneto. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who, that whole thing, like, I know that that was also in the comics at some point. I think it was a little different. Like, his wife learned that he was a mutant and she ran away. Where in this, it was like she got killed. Like, she and his son, or daughter, whatever.
Daughter.
They got killed, and that set him off. Which I think was smart. Like, that's more of a thing that you're like, this movie tries to make you feel sympathetic for him, which I feel like all of these movies do, right? They kind of make you root for Magneto in some form. But
that was an emotional scene for sure. And I do like what they did with Magneto's character here. Yeah, he's just one of those like very interesting characters. Like, you want him to be good, but it's like, They do such a good job of like seeing his side of things as well. So it's like, man, I want you to be good, but I get where you're coming from, but yeah, I need you to be good.
I almost feel like in the comics, he's more of a, you kind of root for him because you understand what he doesn't like about how mutants are treated. And you're like, yeah, he's fighting for mutant kind. He's just going about it wrong. Where in these movies, they make you feel bad for him. Like, the comics, you never really feel bad for him. You just understand where he's coming from. But in the movies, it's like they constantly do stuff to show you, like, oh my god, like, I should feel bad for him. He was like, he was in Auschwitz. He finally had a family and they came and they killed his family. We're jumping ahead a little bit, but in Dark Phoenix, he like starts this commune where like everybody lives in peace, and then the military comes and attacks that and kills a bunch of them, and so he goes, it's like you constantly feel bad for him.
He can't catch a break.
Right.
No. Nope.
And so I feel like that's almost a different way to portray him in the movies, where it's like, yeah, it's Magneto who can't have a break. But I don't know. I lost my train of thought. Anyway, he basically, after that, In Sabanur is what they, I guess, is Apocalypse's official name. Mm-hmm. But he kind of uses that as a way to recruit Eric by mm-hmm. showing him what his true power could be. Which, like, okay, I get it. Like, you're taking advantage of Magneto because he's in this bad place. But basically, he knows where Charles is, so that's how they all get to the mansion. A mini fight breaks out down in the underbelly of the mansion, and a loose laser blast, I believe, from Cyclops is what mm-hmm. blows up the
yeah. He misses. He's trying to...
Yeah. And when the ship blows up, it's going to blow up the entire mansion. But luckily...
we got the $6 million man.
The $6 million man. Quicksilver is here. And he's going to save everybody. It's interesting that he knows about or can find the... like underground portion of the mansion. Like, I think it just shows him run down there and grab everybody, but it's like, mm-hmm. how'd he get down there? How did he know that was there? Like,
cause we didn't get to see the part where he actually had to use the first, like, so many milliseconds to explore the school.
Yeah, I guess. and it's funny too, because like he basically is able to run so fast that everyone freezes.
Right.
Except the explosion, which is still exploding. And like, yes, it's exploding slower, but it's everything is still moving. And mm-hmm. I was like, visually, this is amazing. This is so much fun to watch. But the like, I mean, I don't want to say the science behind it, right? Because this is all fake. But the science behind it, air quotes, doesn't make sense. Like, he can run so fast that bullets are frozen in the air, and yet this explode. Like, he's running just slow enough that this explosion is still exploding. I don't know.
Like,
and his like throw, he like throws people out of the window, and it's like, wouldn't the like velocity of being moved from point A to point B and then flung out a window, wouldn't that like kill them? Like, wouldn't they just be flying out of the window at like Mach 5? Whenever
I feel
time
like if,
starts again.
If this was done in like a Deadpool movie, yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah. They'd all be dead. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I could just see like Deadpool just being like, hey, Quicksilver, I need you to go save all these people. And then it's like all of that happens and he's like, you know, I didn't think that through.
Yeah. And I almost feel like that would be good because Quicksilver is like a villainy hero. Like,
right.
He switches back and forth. So I think that would be a fun... That'd be a fun nod if they threw that in the next Deadpool movie, which who knows when we'll get it and who knows what it'll be about, but...
Well, don't we also have another version of Quicksilver who's now about to become Kraven the Hunter, so...
Oh, yeah.
It's like... I feel like...
But is Kraven the Hunter going to be a Sony property or a Marvel property?
Oh, goodness.
Who knows? Well, basically the school explodes, everyone gets out, and then they go back inside, and surprise, surprise, Stryker and his military force are here to capture everybody. So in what seems like nothing more than a plot device to move the story along, all of the mutants get captured. Or let's say all of the important mutants get captured.
Right.
And flown to his secret base on Alkaline Lake. This I thought was cool because it's like a little bit more of a nod back to the original X-Men movies where we know Wolverine is mm-hmm. taken to this base and that's where he's given all his adamantium and crazy stuff. I do think that this version of that is a lot cooler than the version we get in the older X-Men movies mm-hmm. of Wolverine like breaking out. But it does turn into a bit of like a horror movie in this where the kids basically help each other get out. And then Wolverine, like, escapes. But it's, like, comic book, again, comic book accurate Wolverine mm-hmm. outfit with, like, the big headset and the waist belt full of, like, who, like, what is all that stuff? Then, like, never talked about. But, yeah, then he's running around like a savage animal, just murdering people left and right in, like, brutal and gory ways. And the kids are just kind of like, let's get out of here. It's like watching Scooby-Doo.
Right?
If it was just a shade more like Scooby-Doo, this would have been a much better movie.
I want that scene where it's you're looking down a hallway. We see, like, the kids run out one door and into another, and Wolverine run out one door and into another.
I do remember, like, rewatching the scene, and I have to say, like, it doesn't hold up as cool as, like, I was hoping it would. I just remember seeing this in the movie theater, and then when this whole moment happens, I was just like, oh my goodness, this is, like, went to a whole nother level. No other superhero film has done this. Like, wow, this is just so dark and gritty, and I freaking love it. And then rewatching, I was like, you know, I thought it was a lot gorier than it was. Like,
yeah, no, most of the gorier stuff happens, like, off screen, which is why I kind of feel like it's like a B horror movie,
right?
Where they sort of show you, like, they show a lot of stuff from, like, security cameras.
Yeah,
and it's like, okay, but right before Wolverine gets out, he runs into Jean and Cyclops, and Jean, whatever, does some magic and sort of restores some of his memory, which I was mm-hmm. like, well, that's not what happens. Like,
creepy because she's a teenager.
Yeah. Why did they change that? Like, she was like, I gave him his name, and I was like, but he gets his name from the dog tags. Like, that's the whole, he doesn't know who he, like, I don't know. That was dumb. But basically, all that happens, and then we kind of fast forward, because this movie is very much like, what are the kids doing? What is Apocalypse doing? And it somehow seems to be, like, completely different things all the time. So Apocalypse is getting Magneto to pull all of Earth's metal up out of Earth or something to, like, I don't know, did they ever really explain what he's doing other than trying to, like, reset humanity or something?
He got rid of all the nuclear weapons, which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's where we got our Stan Lee cameo as well. Stan and his wife. But I feel like he's just like, I'm going to reset humanity, and I don't know how Magneto pulling metal around is going to do that, but that's what's happening.
That might as well happen.
we get Apocalypse, like, takes over Charles's mind and is like, he's, like, speaking to the entire population and somehow going to use Charles to kill everyone, which is another thing that's just kind of, like, not explained. It's, like, too many, I don't want to sound cheesy, but too many apocalyptic events are, like, happening all around the same time. And it's just like, this is too much. You guys are doing too much. Like, give us one big thing to focus on. Why is he doing, like, 8 different plans? But
there's so much magic that we don't know the rules for. Yeah. We're like, I guess if he's using Charles to murder everybody with his mind.
Yeah. And like, he can like power up other mutants.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's what gives
like a pattern.
Yeah. That's what gives Eric the ability to, like, pull all this metal up, and he's able to, like, amplify Charles's mind instead of using Cerebro. Basically, this is when there's, like, the big moment, right? They're like, oh, Charles is able to, like, send a special secret message to Jean that no one else can hear except for Gene. And it's like, why wouldn't he have just reached out? If he could do that, why would he just reach out to all of them? Like, why do you only reach out to Gene? And it was like a cryptic message. It wasn't even like a, this is where I am, come help me. So, I don't know. this is when Angel dies in a plane crash, which... What? Yeah. Like, why... He can fly, and he has metal knife wings. I don't know. This just seems like another one of those moments there, like, we gotta get rid of one of them. Okay, it'll be Angel. He's the lamest one. All right, he's dead. It's like, okay, well, sure. There's like a big fight. Nothing makes sense in the fight. Like, they're trying to make Apocalypse like super scary, so it's like nothing anyone does affects him. But at the same time, kind of like you said, Elisa, or like your husband said, I guess, like, he's just not big enough to be intimidating. So you're just...
No, it's like they only did that stuff in like the dream sequence or whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, and that's kind of what happens next, is like Jean jumps into his mind and then she's fighting him in his own mind, but also sort of her mind. It's all very confusing. They're in somebody's mind. And the battle is weird, where it's just like he gets big and stomps on her, and it doesn't make sense. But then she gets, oh no, she gets the Phoenix power, and that's, she uses the Phoenix power, and it's like, hold on, so now you're throwing in something else big, like, already? And, you know, you have to think about watching this movie and not knowing that the Dark Phoenix was the next movie. So you're kind of like, oh, are they just kind of shoving this in there? Like, oh, she has this crazy power and she uses the power to kill Apocalypse. And it's like, you built him up this whole movie and then it was just relatively anticlimactic.
An 80-pound teenage girl took him down.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't like that part at all. Like, the whole, like, bringing in the Phoenix, and especially in this way, because that's one reason why I really enjoy X-Men 2. That's, like, my favorite scene is at the very end. You just kind of just get that last little glimpse, and it's just like, yes, like, that was done. Awesome. And this, it was just too much.
Yeah. But that's, I mean, that's... The end of the movie is basically like a happy ever after for everybody, where this never makes sense to me, where telepaths are able to like rebuild stuff. Cause that's like Gene and well, I guess Eric's helping, and Charles are like using their minds to rebuild the Xavier Institute. And it's like, what? They're not even using like new materials to rebuild it. They're just like, but all the rubble is fixing itself. And it's like, they don't have magic, like, heal broken brick powers. Like, it doesn't make sense.
They knew where all that dust was supposed to go.
Then, classic X-Men, Magneto can't stay. He has to go. So he leaves. And then we get to see the Danger Room, where they have reprogrammed some Sentinels for the X-Men to fight against, or to train against, I guess. Which, you know, this is another part where we get some comic accurate outfits for Cyclops and Jean. And so it's like, okay, that's all fine.
Couldn't have shown us that through the whole film.
Come on. That's like... So, and that's the end of the
couldn't
movie.
Have aged them up either.
Yeah, no, it's just like, boom, that you're done. And so, yes, it's like hold on, so they need to train. They're gonna train in the Danger Room. They've already beaten like one of the biggest X-Men villains. Like, I don't know, whatever,
right? It's like, who's who's left that's bigger than Apocalypse?
Right. It's just like when the Avengers beat Thanos and you're like, well, what's next?
Yeah.
Galactus? I mean, like, what's bigger than Thanos?
Yeah.
So, I guess we'll find out. but I think for me, the best part of this movie as far as, like, content goes is the in-credit scene and the after-credit scene, which are... Or, no, the in-credit scene, which is some people, some men in suits are back at the compound at Alkali Lake, and they are collecting blood samples, which we assume they're collecting blood samples from Wolverine, and they're putting them in a Weapon X briefcase. The Weapon X briefcase says Essex Corp on it. I think people are thinking that this is a Mr. Sinister reference. His name is Nathan Essex. So they're thinking that he has something to do with this whatever Weapon X project they're doing, which we can only assume is X-23. If they're taking Wolverine's blood, they're going to be trying to make other Wolverines, which is like a running thing now. I think that for me, that was the most interesting part of this movie, because I was like, ooh, what are they going to do next? They're going to do something with Wolverine? Cool. And then, like a year later, it was like, oh, our next movie is going to be in 2 years, and it's going to be The Dark Phoenix. And I was like, what? Boo. Like, are you kidding me? So that was a letdown, but it was exciting for a little while. But yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
That was Apocalypse. Like,
quick. So basically you got a baddie who recruits a bunch of other young kids and turns them baddie and blows up a building,
mm-hmm.
and then they fight him and we get lots of new superpowers and then it's over.
Right. Yep. And then that was...
Not too much.
Yeah. Not a lot going on.
Yeah. I feel like Mr. Sinister gets teased a lot, yet why haven't we ever gotten to Mr. Sinister?
I think they just like... They like end those movie lines before yeah. they ever get to actually pay that off, and they're like, well, we can't do it now, like
right.
Yeah,
maybe MCU will finally give us a film where they fight Mr. Sinister.
Yeah, in 6 years.
I am okay with that. If you're gonna do it right.
That's not Sony's MO. They'll rush it. Although I guess what Marvel has full rights for X-Men now, I think, right? It's not like the Spider-Man, which was like a
yeah, weird... right.
I mean, Sony screwed themselves out of Spider-Man, let's all be honest. They sold the rights to market marketing, yeah. Like all the toys and t-shirts and merchandising. There you go. They sold the merchandising rights to Spider-Man to Marvel, but then they kept the rights to make movies. And it was like, wouldn't you want to do that the other way around? Like,
yeah.
I feel like you'd make way more money, but whatever. Yeah. All right. Well, last thoughts, I guess, on Apocalypse.
Go for it, Luke.
I think this is like the biggest frustration with this is they try to do too much. There's a lot of characters. There's a lot of references to characters. So it's like, what was their mission with this film? Mm-hmm. Is it strictly just to build up hype that like this world is huge and we can do all of this? But it's like, you're not doing this movie any justice. So why would I want to go watch any right. of these other ones? You know, like I don't want to be stuck in this. Nothing against like the actors or anything. I liked First Class, but I do think, you know, we need to see like that progression, because let's get closer to like show and comic accurate, like, in a lot of that. I forgot, like, they, another thing they kind of changed around in this was, I guess they hinted that, like, Charles has a son was it Moira?
Yeah.
But that's not entirely comic accurate. Like, yes, she does have a son, but it's kind of hinting towards Proteus, who becomes a future villain, which would have been cool. But, like, why not build on any of that stuff? I don't know. There's just so much of this. It's like, I get it, but at the same time, like, focus on characters and building on these characters. That's why, like, that's why Marvel, like, the MCU world's been so successful, is give each of these people some time to shine. So yeah, it's like not one I'm gonna jump to watch, you know. It's like, if it was a rainy day and it was on, yeah, I'd probably watch it because there are some cool things in it. But
yeah,
I'll watch it for the Quicksilver segment, and just to see
the good part.
Yeah.
What would you rate it?
Oh, man. I think with this one, I'd go 6 out of 10, where it's like, on my scale, I ignore 7. So basically 6 is essentially like, it's not really the greatest. It's good enough to watch every now and then, but it's just not the greatest.
All right. How about you, Elisa? Last thoughts in your rating?
Well, my rating is 1.5 avocados. Both of them are mostly pit, and they're like 5 days away from being edible.
Oh, man.
And really, I don't have that much more to say, except go watch In Secret with Oscar Isaac and Elizabeth Olsen.
Hang on. I know we've talked about this before, and I'm going to go make a note right now to go watch this.
I can't really prepare you for how ridiculous, pulpy, and amazing that movie is.
All right, that's pretty solid.
A much better use of Oscars.
I will give this 2 out of 6 Wolverine claws. I feel like I agree. I think rewatching it for the first time in a couple years, I was more excited about the Quicksilver scene and the Wolverine breaking out scene. But then the whole rest of the movie was kind of like, okay, all right. Like, if I wasn't watching it for us to do this podcast, I probably would have just done that 10 seconds forward skip a couple times when it's just like, okay, all right, let's get through this dumb open with Apocalypse. Okay, let's get through this weird scene where he's like building an army. I don't care. So, yeah, I think if you really want, like, if you haven't seen this first class series of movies and you want to watch them, I would watch First Class and Days of Future Past and then pretend like the other two weren't made. Because they're just not. It's like what you said, Luke. They tried to do too much without ever giving you a payoff of all the stuff that they tried to put in the movie. Yeah. So it's like,
that could just make a sizzle reel of all of the times where Michael Fassbender looks really broody in those two movies. And just watch that.
Yeah.
And that's...
Yeah. You'd be like, oh, there you go. This is good. High points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I would be cool to see, take Apocalypse, but let's do Age of Apocalypse as a Disney Plus series.
Yeah. That would be good. And let's make it like 12
hour
episodes.
Long episodes, like 10 episodes, and build that out, and I think they could do something really cool.
I agree. Hear that, Marvel?
Cast.
You're looking.
I need you to do that, Marvel. Disney, we need you to sponsor us, please. We're not going to ask for much.
And let us be a part of the writing team.
Yeah.
Unless that's a deal breaker, then forget I said it. All right. Well, thank you all for listening to this special episode. Be sure to join us next time on Patreon for our special episode where we'll talk about unfortunately, the Dark Phoenix. Hear me out. It's just as bad as you remember. Anyway, thank you all for listening. We'll see you guys next time. Oh, wait, I forgot. What's a one-liner?
Do I need one? Do I need one?
That's a good one.
Because we just closed on we're going to.
That's a good one, yeah.
We're headed straight into Dark Phoenix. It's nothing but darkness.
It's nothing but darkness. I like that. That's better. It's nothing but darkness. See you guys next time.
Bye-bye.